Welcome to another fabulous episode of All the Vegas, presented by Las Vegas Weekly Magazine in collaboration with The Space. That's where we record this podcast. It's at Polaris and Harmon. It's just off the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, and it's the home of Monday's Dark. I'm Brock Radke, and I've got good news and bad news. The bad news is that your favorite Canadian and my co-host Mark Chinook is absent today, as you can imagine. As you can imagine, this podcast, you know, since it's taken off and become an explosive force across the media landscape, I mean, literally, we have tens of listeners. Both of we two, that was supposed to be a joke. Me and Mark, we both have become very hot commodities, obviously, because of All the Vegas. Seriously, we do have a lot going on, and that's why I missed the last show with Don Logan from the Las Vegas Aviators. Thanks to Mark and to Ken for filling in my absence, and that's why Mark is gone today. He's off doing something, getting even more famous than he already is, and I'm sure we'll talk about that project later on. But the good news, strike that, the great news is that not only do I have an incredible Vegas guest in the studio at The Space today, I also have one of my very favorite people in the world sitting in as a special guest co-host. Longtime Vegas journalist who did what I do way before I did it and way better than I could ever do it. Easily one of the best writers to ever splash some ink around any Vegas publication. Doug Elfman is here and ready to party.
Man, now, if that's not an introduction, I don't know what is.
Thank you for doing this, man. I'm really excited that you're here.
Oh, it's so great to be here.
It's beautiful.
It does kind of feel like we're not working at all, though, or doing anything official. We're just, like, hanging out at a different bar today, this Friday afternoon.
Right, except we didn't bring enough booze. Not enough booze today.
We could take care of that. I don't think anyone's going to bring us any nachos today, though.
Ooh, nachos would have been nice.
That's always true. All right, our guest today is also one of my favorite Vegas people. She's the quintessential showgirl, really. Vegas-born talent, dancer and singer, who's performed in every production show you could think of and now works on the other side of things, behind the scenes, lining up entertainment for the New York Hotel and Casino on the Strip. If you're a Monday's Dark regular like me, you've seen her set this place on fire many times over. Stephanie Sanchez, welcome to All the Vegas, and thank you for being here.
Ah, you're welcome. It feels like I was interrupting you two at the beginning there.
Yeah,
that was beautiful. That's a nice relationship you got.
Yeah, it's a little bromance.
It is.
It's a little nice bromance.
We'll try to keep it on a simmer instead of a full bubble.
Right. I hope I can keep up this end of the bargain over here. I mean, you guys are sitting closer than I am, so.
Maybe we should switch mics, switch seats. Steph, you just wrapped up a show. You just had a starring role in Mamma Mia at the Henderson Pavilion.
I did. My very first musical I have ever done.
Wait a minute. How is that possible?
Because I've been in a G-string for 30 years. I was spending sequins. I'm working 7 nights a week. So the opportunity really never came up, mm-hmm. if you will. So, yeah, I did. I got a phone call saying they could not find Adonna. Would I audition? And I thought, shit, yeah, all right, I can do that. I got my nights free. So I went and I auditioned and I got the spot. And I thought, holy shit, it's a whole different world. I mean, I can entertain drunks and get in their face and walk to the front of the stage with a microphone and entertain in front of topless women. But not being able to talk to the audience is a whole different game. Mm. So I got a lot of notes and I had a lot of fun. It was with Huntsman Entertainment, mm-hmm. Sandra and Steve Huntsman, and they did a great job. It was way out there at the Henderson Pavilion, and I had a blast. I worked with some people that I love very dearly. The choreographer was Keith Dodson, and the vocal director was Francesca Camus.
Oh, and, yes.
Tracy, you know Nick Foote, his wife, Tracy Vietmeyer Foote, she's also a dancer in town. She was assistant choreographer. So the production team I knew, the rest of them were very young. So I did not know them at all.
And so you were portraying Donna.
I was Donna.
Which one is Donna?
The lead. Come on.
Yeah?
No, she's the mom.
Okay.
She's the mom. She's the role that Tina Walsh played when it was over at Mandalay Bay. Mm-hmm. And
so what did you get to sing? What do you sing as Donna?
A lot of ABBA, which is not... That was my first rehearsal. Mm-hmm. What I sing now, after so many years on the strip, sounding like I'm chewing on broken glass, is rock. So the first meeting with the vocal director was, it's very clean, there's no vibrato, it's ABBA, it's very pop. And I thought, holy, you know what you hired, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a little Aerosmith for a while. And then, but thanks to the production team, they whipped me into shape. I was their little Mexican Eliza Doolittle. But it turned out pretty well. I had a blast.
I feel like that would be a show I'd go see, Mexican Eliza Doolittle.
It was. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd look like a disco ball in that jumpsuit that Sandra sewed up and they designed. It was beautiful. I was excited about that.
Did you get to keep the costumes?
I did not. Oh, I did not get to keep the costume, but she did make me a little placebo, a little purse out of the same fabric. So I wear that around like a loincloth at work and just start breaking into some Waterloo every once in a while. Uh-huh. It makes me, I enjoy the music.
As a loincloth, you mean only that? You don't wear anything else?
They're getting used to me now in the suit world, so sometimes.
That's good.
Yeah.
You are pretty much an executive, right, at New York, New York? Is that the wrong terminology?
I think that's a level. I'm a suit. It's what we used to call them.
Suit's
I think,
a suit.
But yeah, I'm the entertainment manager, mm-hmm. and I book all the live entertainment for the property and the park. The
right.
Little strip of park.
So if like you're a tourist and you're walking around and you see performers, cover bands, singers performing out and about, then you've booked them.
They're mine. Yep.
Yeah.
All the bands, all the dancers, all the stilts, all the face painters, airbrush artists, any. Artist, entertainment, live character.
Is there still, there are stilts now?
Little puckers. We got little puckers.
What's a little pucker?
Little people.
Oh, I see.
In hockey outfits that say little puckers on the back.
I have not seen this before.
It's awesome. Them with the stilts and their hockey outfits. We have a net girl. We'll do
What's
anything.
A net girl?
Girl dressed up like a hockey net.
Doug, it's hockey.
No, but what else is she wearing?
A white unitard.
Okay. I have to Google this.
Yeah.
I walk around the strip all the time, but I guess I have not seen her.
Have you been on the Brooklyn Bridge?
Yeah, I have.
You've got a
but
huge
maybe it's
stage
the wrong,
out there, man.
Yeah. Wrong time of the day, maybe. Maybe I'm going out. But I also don't, I usually just walk the strip. I don't usually stop very many places.
You work
I'm the strip? I'm taking some cash.
Yeah.
You know?
In or out. Sometimes I get a quick ride.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the park opened a few years ago, that definitely changed your gig there opened it up a lot more and you guys started exploring different entertainment options. But then, of course, when the Golden Knights took over the universe, that really had a big impact on what you guys were programming, right?
Mm-hmm. It sort of opened up I was going to say classier place, but I think they had a different idea when the park opened that mm-hmm. it would be more like a park. But it really, truly, once VGK started, it's the thoroughfare
right.
for the games. So it used to be its own entity of the corporate world taking care of it. And over time, New York just sort of took it over.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became my jurisdiction and our AV team's jurisdiction and, you know, little by little. So now we've taken over running it. And that's been the past right in time for the first hockey game. So it was... It was a trial by fire from the get-go because I knew nothing about hockey or tailgating.
What's the difference between the fans that you're getting post-hockey versus pre-hockey?
They're hanging out. So, again, sometimes I am that Vegas fan that everybody talks about, and they're like, they know nothing about hockey. That's me. I'm like a dog sticking the tongue out the window at the back seat of the car.
I'm in that category too. I will confess to being in that category.
I love it.
Wait a minute. You're like the hugest.
Yeah, but I don't know anything about hockey.
That's
really.
A compliment.
So you're like the number one Golden Knights fan, but you don't know what forwarding?
I mean, I don't know if I'm number one.
Offsides is.
Maybe I'm up there.
You're up there.
It's like baseball. You know the stats or you enjoy the game. You enjoy the game.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's fun. And we've had a lot of Canadians where they used to go to California or they used to go to Arizona. Now they're just going to come to Vegas because they'll come down here and they love it. And I will tell you, one day I was going to go see the game and for the Caps when they were here this last time, and I couldn't get in. They sold out. I'm like, all right, whatever. So I was walking back through the park. Three guys like, do you want to go see the game? And I'm supposed to look for scalpers too. So I'm like, well, why are you asking? And he said, well, our buddy fell back asleep and we got an extra ticket. Just buy us beers.
Oh.
And I said, where are your tickets? And he looks at his phone. He goes, oh, no, I guess they're here. And I thought, oh, you're Canadian. Let's go, guys. So we went in. And their whole thing, they loved teaching me about the game, telling me everything that was happening. And they said they love coming to Vegas because, he said, it doesn't matter which team. They're all high-fiving each other. They're all having fun. They're all buying each other beers. He said it's just the best place to go because maybe we don't know everything about the game. We're just having a good time.
We're having a good time. And what you guys are doing is a big part of that. Ken, that's a good sidebar. This is an off-season story for you to write. Do a study of how fewer Canadian visitors go to hockey games in California and Arizona throughout the season since VGK started. Okay, sorry. Now back to our scheduled program.
That's very managerial.
Yeah.
Sidebar.
You know, by the way, Brock, as a man, I've never been walking outside of the hockey anything or any box office and people just go, hey, want a free ticket? You know, or I want to come hang out or I want to teach you. You know what? When you're a man, you don't get these kinds of opportunities, you know.
Well, they were sticking out that day, so maybe that helped.
Yeah, right.
Right. Maybe. I won't deny it.
Do you have the same – I've talked about this before that I'm just a sucker for that. Not just going to a game, but – being in that environment, I'll go down there and hang out. If I'm on the strip and there's a home game that night and I'm not going, but I was working earlier, I'll just go hang out down there with everybody because there's something that, as somebody who grew up here, it just makes me feel good to be around a bunch of locals on the strip, which is something that hasn't happened a whole lot ever like this.
Mm-hmm.
You were born here.
I was born here.
And you're down there all the time.
I love
doing
it.
What you do.
Yeah.
It must be times a thousand for you.
It's phenomenal. I am so proud and have always been so proud of being from here. I will tell you that being from this little bubble and leaving is a whole hell of a lot different than coming here. Because I think people expect when they come here. But when this is your norm and you go somewhere else. And as an adult, I thought Last Call or 5 o'clock somewhere were things like from Westerns. I had no clue. People didn't drink before 5 o'clock. Seems really stupid. I mean, it's mimosas and Bloody Marys. Obviously, people are drinking before 5 o'clock. And then Last Call, nearly jumped over a bar when someone took my drink. Because that had never happened to me either. I thought it was a Western thing. So I have a lot of pride. And unfortunately, it had to take the tragedy that did for the rest of the world to see it. But I grew up on the strip. I was a runner at Horseshoe when I was 15 years old. Mm-hmm. So it's just my norm and happy place. So to have other people see it and enjoy it, and they do, they come and they'll sit there 3 hours. We start programming 3-4 hours before the game. And then people who aren't getting into the game or just decided they're not going to pay for that ticket, but they're going to watch all these TVs, where it's like a huge, humongous sports bar. So everybody's high-fiving again, and all colors of jerseys are in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been pretty cool. I love it.
You did work on the strip as a teenager, and you had your first job in a show when you were 17. Is that right?
I did. It was at Bob Stupak's Vegas World. Was it called Viva Las Vegas, I think? Yeah, Viva Las Vegas with Betty Francisco. Senior Ray and Tilly were in it. Ronnie Fabre was in it. She's a singer in town. She's still singing.
What did you do?
I was a dancer. Yeah. I started as a dancer. Yeah. Oh, light blue eyeshadow. Everything was horrible.
Light blue eyeshadow.
It was the 80s.
What did you wear? What was the outfit?
It was a G-string, a bra. Yeah. The huge. Yeah. Uh-huh. What did you think I wore? I think in finale I wore a backpack and a skirt.
Well, I mean, you know, fashions change, right? So, I mean, what kind of, what are we
The G-string was higher on your hips in the 80s.
Yeah.
As time went on, they lower on the hips.
Yeah.
That's basically it. Still a sequin bra and a backpack. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the show was 99 cents at Bob Stupak's Vegas World. They gave you a penny back and they did not give comps. So my mother had to pay 99 cents because they had penny slots.
Who's going to get a comp to a 99 cent show?
But who's not going to? Who's going to make my mother pay 99 cents to see me in the show? So yeah, that's what it was. And it was just a cheesy old Vegas review. With magician, comedian, singer.
Variety show. Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, loved it. I loved it.
Did you? You didn't have any performance anxiety?
No, I didn't.
No.
And that has made me a terrible mother. I have two kids, because my daughter does whatever that nervous gene is. I just don't have it.
Yeah.
So I'll just go and wing anything. I think it has to do with being a large family. But so much more to their credit, making me do shit when I was little makes you fearless. But my daughter, man, Shelby has to take a shit, and she will tell you before every audition or anything. That poor little thing, when she was a baby, I'm like, just go do it. You'll be fine.
Is this the daughter that's now in the topless review?
Yeah.
Ex-country.
Shelby Jordan. Yeah, she's right. An ex-country, and she is in MJ Live. She was in Fantasy for a brief minute, but ex-country offered her full-time. And apparently you can't be in two topless shows at the same time. So she's like, peace out. But yeah. She's gotten over it. She still gets nervous.
Why can't you be in two topless shows at the same time? I don't know. Whose rule is this? Who's the wizard behind that curtain?
I have no idea. She told me that, and I didn't know that.
Maybe that is not something that existed when you were performing.
Well, when I was performing, we did two shows a night, so the options were not what they are now. You can double easily now. When I did, like, Fantasy only has the one show. When I did David Cassidy's show, he had the one show, so then I could do that and then go in the lounge. And so it's a lot easier now to really do that, but back then, no, because you had to be there an hour before and warm up, and they were serious about that shit.
That was at the Copa with David Cassidy and Sheena Easton,
Miss Sheena Easton.
I love Sheena Easton.
Oh, who doesn't?
She's amazing. She's a doll.
Oh, I've told her I love her.
I think she lived here for a long time. I think she's
still lives here.
No, she's still here in Henderson, right?
Yeah. She just did a tour up in Japan last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But she lives here. She's great.
She's super great.
We got to get Sheena Easton in here.
You got to get her. She's hilarious.
She's real.
She's filthier mouth than mine is.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about that.
Am I right?
Yeah, she's a real hoot.
Yeah.
Is what I would say.
What was that show like? You've been in a lot of different shows with a lot of different stars, but that show had two, and they were pretty famous.
Pretty famous. It was very interesting because I am 5'8", and aside from the guys in the cast, in heels, I was taller, easily 4 inches above everybody else in that cast, and I spent the first couple of months thinking I was going to get fired for sure. But I didn't. Guess I'm a lot of fun. So there were 4 female we sang and danced, and then some guys. But Sheena and David were phenomenal. I could not say a bad thing about either one of them.
Oh, that's something, because David had a few gossip to things about him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when you're in it, and, you know, he's not here anymore, whatever, but his handlers, they could tell you a different story. I can only tell you, like, working with David or Sheena or Carrot Top, those people stand out in my head that they were amazing to the cast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I saw how he acted or how he dealt with other things, but to us, he was always, always wonderful.
But Sheena and Carrot Top, magnificent, right?
Scotty is he's Carrot Top, especially for being a male, and then because we share a dressing room, well, a backstage area. Incredibly respectful, would not just walk around like, you know, you do you backstage, and just very, very, very generous. Generous, wonderful people. And that's why I say I can't say a bad thing about them, because they never did a thing to me. They were always very, very wonderful.
Yeah. I saw Carrot Top up in the VIP area at Studio 54 some years back. Once upon a time, Studio 54 was the place, right? Bomb. Upstairs.
I worked there too.
If you went downstairs, it was touristy. If you went upstairs, it was locals. It got fun and about one in the morning. But anyway, so I saw a Carrot Top up in the VIP area, and they had chocolate chip cookies on the tables in the VIP area back then. Every table
had... they weren't brownies?
That would have been more fun, maybe. So that was the first time I met him, and then we had a nice... We shared a nice couple of cookies together once upon a time. There were some beautiful cookies. And then ever since then, every time I've ever met him anywhere, you know, he's always so nice. I've never heard a bad word about him.
He is a sweetheart.
You call him Scott. I can't not call him Carrot Top.
Well, he's Carrot Top. That was an accident.
Because I knew him as Carrot Top for so long on TV first, you know. So.
He, yeah, I'll still go back and visit, and he's just a sweetheart.
Yeah.
You also, I mean, you danced in a lot of the most recognizable shows ever. Enter the Night.
I opened that.
At the Stardust.
What was that?
Enter the Night was like after Lido was done. That was like the next version.
I don't know. I don't remember
that. Stardust.
You don't remember Enter the Night?
No, I think I missed that one.
Remember when Lido closed?
When was this? What year was this?
80.
Oh, I wasn't here for that.
90. Maybe
90. I wasn't here for that.
Oh, okay. So Mare Bear Productions came in from New York, and Stardust was going to make a change. So they wanted this huge production show, and they didn't want it Vegas. Now, this was a time, because I told you I'm 5'8". When I started my career, I was short. And towards the end of my dancing career, I was one of the tall ones because hip-hop came into play, and showgirls can't hip-hop, and the style of dance changed. So the size of dancers changed. So they came in. They wanted to bring in a lot of New York dancers and New York people, and they want no fishnets, and they wanted no lashes.
No,
I was
lashes.
A blue belt. I was a cover dancer in that show. And a lot of the leads, the nudes, came over from the Lido. So Liz Larkin and Donna Browning and a lot of the male dancers. So just elegant, extraordinary women. So talented. So we had our costume parade, and the cover dancers had these horrible, like, leotards with, it was like a plastic skirt. We all matched. We looked ridiculous. It was, like, low on the hips. And then character shoes, not showgirl shoes. I haven't worn character shoes since I was 13 years old.
What's a character shoe?
It's a short, fat heel. Oh. Like a pump with a short, fat heel and a strap. Uh-huh. Where a showgirl high heel is, like, 3.5 inches, and it's a lot sexier shoe, but a lot of people can't even walk in a much less dance. Mm-hmm. So they decided they were going to make New York out of it. I look like a fucking Rockette. That's what I look like. A leotard. Who wears leotard? And that's what they decided it's not going to be. Vegas. So we're standing there in tights, which reflect, not, they're not fishnets, they're tights, no lashes, looking like an idiot, and it's white, and we're all standing there, and God bless, I will remember to the day I die, and so thankful. Donna Browning came up and over the set. She was a nude in full, because the showgirls had these, we had the plexiglass skirt, and they all had different plexiglass backpacks, so they were huge. This bitch walks up and over in her own damn shoes, no top, full slap, and fishnets, and stands in the middle of the stage. Sweet. And she had white hair that was like this long, like maybe an inch long on her head. We looked so stupid, and we're looking next to her, so they could not realize what a huge mistake they made. So we all got lashes and fishnets and decent shoes.
Who would be anti lashes in a stage show anyway?
People coming from New York, everybody, people come to Vegas. I'm gonna change Vegas. I am Mr. Vegas. Right. I am the new Miss Vegas. Right. I'm like, asshole, it's just not LA. You don't need an agent. You want a job, go get it. And then all of a sudden, if you hustle, Vegas is it. If you can hustle, you can do anything. You don't have dancers cocktail waitressing here. You don't have musicians doing some other job waiting for their next gig. That's that is so foreign to me. But people will come over from New York or LA and think, oh, this can be my job. I've taken over the town. Mm-hmm. Oh, you have an asshole. Everybody else does it too.
Right.
Dumb shit.
Wait, so were you dancing when the movie Showgirls came out?
Mm-hmm.
So what was the reception like?
It was that.
What did everybody in town,
well,
who was a dancer?
Well, some of the girls were in it. So it was, you know, financially wise. And just like anything else, and I think that also is part of Vegas, it's so fake. What we do is so fake. In these other hubs, entertainment hubs, it's not so fake. So in Vegas, they'll ask me, what do you sing? I'm like, what are you paying me for? I will sing anything you want me to do. But it's a job, and our job is no different than the porter. Our job is no different than the bartender. It's just what we do. It's not special. And in LA, you are this person, and you believe it so much that you're drinking your own Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. And you're like, it's fake, dude. I'm sitting here with Elvis impersonator in the PTA meeting because we got to get to work. And it's a very Disneyland, as I've grown up and realized to the rest of the world. I'm just a dancer. What do you do?
So maybe in LA, they're still part of this big thing, but they don't really see themselves that way. But in Vegas, everybody's kind of in on it.
It's not real. So the movie is like, that's stupid. If you believe it, then you're an idiot. But it doesn't offend me. Nobody's on stage with marbles.
Look, if you're saying that people in L.A. believe
their own... Nobody's going to learn that shit that fast either. Marbles. I mean, come on.
If you're saying that people in L.A. believe their own lies, then I agree with that.
Yeah. You do. You're this.
Way
is
to go out on a limb there, Doug.
Edgy. So it's just different. It's my perspective.
You danced in so many shows, and like you were just saying... which I thought was kind of funny how dancers changed when different styles became more popular, different music was a bigger part of pop culture and stuff like that. What do you think about when you see the dance-focused shows on the Strip now and how that has kind of evolved? Because obviously the old-school showgirl reviews are absolutely gone. There's nothing else like Lido or even Enter the Night at this point. But there are a lot of different shows that employ dancers and incorporate a lot of different styles and different kinds of performers.
I love it. I absolutely love it. You're going to have a bunch of people say, oh, it's just not old Vegas. Oh, it's not this. It changes. Vegas doesn't like something. We don't care about spotted animals. We blow that shit up. If it's not making money, we blow it up, put it in a book, and move on. So that sort of thing is sort of very temporary anyway. Which then when I get in these discussions with folks and they're like, well, it's not what Vegas used to be. It's not old Vegas. It's not this. I'm like, it changes. We change so much. Family didn't work. Sorry. Themed hotels. Never mind.
It's a very Darwin town. Yeah.
And it's just that's why it stays alive. It's got to make money. And if you're that attached to it, then go get a book and read about it. But. Yeah, style of music changed. What is popular changed. And people get really bitter about Cirque. Makes money. Go learn how to bend yourself into a box. Go learn a magic trick. That's what the job description changes quite a bit. And so if you don't change with it, then, do something else. It's always been very ever-changing.
So there's nothing that you miss?
Well... sure, you miss it, but I'm not modeling about it. I'm not, my world has changed because my hometown is different. I'm just used to the change. Yeah. Of course, you don't see, Georgie Bernasek, she's over with Penn and Teller, one of the most beautiful, gorgeous showgirls in the world. When she walks across stage, you just can't touch her. She's amazing. But now she's over at Penn and Teller because that shit's gone. Look, I'm going to work over here. It's just you just work with it. So I love the change, but then again, I'm a product of it. So that's all I know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've said to you, Doug, on a number of occasions that we'll be talking about shows or Vegas stuff in general. And I'll tell you, I don't know. I feel like I'm so skewed because I've been here for so long. I can't tell if things are cheesy or not. I can't tell if things are kind of good or not because I'm so used to what we do here. And it's just hard to tell if I have good taste or not.
Well, are you spending money? Are you enjoying yourself?
Sometimes I'm spending money. I'm always enjoying myself.
We're very gaudy. I went to LA and it's so dark. I'm like, why is it so dark? They're like, maybe we don't have neon on all our buildings. I'm like, yeah, you should probably get that. Cool. But in Vegas, opposed to another place, you're here for 5 minutes and it's like the hockey game. We're like, hey, you're from Vegas too. You're not going to get that in Texas. You're not going to get that in New York. You're like, well, were you born here? give a fuck.
You know, the only thing that I really, I'm not going to say that I miss, because I agree with you, like, this city adapts, right? And I like that it does that. It changes, and it keeps things fresh, you know? So the only thing that kind of bothers me sometimes is when things become more vanilla. So, like, I like New York, New York's exterior. It looks like a snow globe, right? I like the Bellagio because of the fountains. I like the Luxor because it's a giant triangle. You know what I mean? So I like that stuff. So like when City Center came in and it looked kind of boring, I was like, meh. So my only thing about Vegas is I do like the adapting. I just wish it would adapt to be crazier. So like when Brock, when you're like, I don't know if we're getting cheesier. I'm like, I want cheese to the 10th power. Mm-hmm. You know, like I want it to be that, because when you like go to Chicago, there's nothing against Chicago, but if you look at the buildings, you know, I had a friend once who was an artist, and he was like, look at these beautiful architecture. And I went, yeah, but they're all gray buildings. They're all gray, you know?
Ours are green.
But you go to like, yeah, so we have green and all these colors. You go to Rome, right? And all and it's yellows and reds. And you go to Prague, you know, and it's like these vibrant colors, you know? So that's one of the things I like about Vegas is that we're classy. In the way that
we're a classy lady.
We are a classy lady because we, you know, we'd like to get dressed up. We like to dress our buildings up, right? Anyway, that's
well
my
put.
I'm sorry for the soapbox.
No.
That's
my soapbox.
Soapboxes are allowed here. So a big, huge change in your career was when you went to fantasy and shifted from dancer to singer.
Yes.
Was that the first time that you were singing in a show?
That was the first time I had taken a lead position in a production show as the singer. I've sung in shows. I was a singer-dancer. That transition was not – it was bumpy because that wasn't done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I got fantasy because I was a dancer. And there's a little fearlessness in it. A friend of mine who was the singer in the show at the time – Charity Sullivan LaFontaine, she called me and she said, girl, I'm leaving. They're about to hire this other singer. You better get over here now. It's the dancer audition, but you got to sing. And I said, okay. So I walked in and I thought I wore like black leather pants and a black top and I'd done full beat. And this poor other person who will remain nameless had no idea. She thought she had the job wrapped up. So she just came in. I think her hair was in a ponytail or something. And thought, and Anita Mann, who was the producer, she said, all I have is the dancer audition. I said, that's fine. I'll dance it first. She goes, okay. And so I just stood in the front and balls to the wall and danced it and then sang Black Velvet and got the gig. I thought, shit, I better learn the rest of these songs.
Which probably took you 2 days, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, we went in about 4 days. I had the girls' names written. I'm like, and so-and-so. And I had to introduce them at the end because I didn't even know them. But I went in pretty fast. And it was fun that you're opening and closing shows a lot, like Abracadabra or Alakazam or Country Tonight. That lasted a while. Legends. Because you just kind of...
Mm-hmm.
There was no burning bridges really at all at the time. You would have to work at 5'8" to not work. You'd have to be really lazy not to have gigs in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, that's interesting.
It was sweet.
Yeah. So we were talking about Showgirls earlier, Showgirls. So there is a scene in Showgirls. I don't mean to think that Showgirls is not a documentary, right?
It's very interesting.
Wait a minute, what?
I don't mean to blow your minds.
Better but end there's that a subscription.
But if I'm not mistaken, there's a part in there where women do things to each other, like they put glass in their makeup or something like that when they're not looking. So what's the truth about a bunch of naked women working together every day?
The beauty.
And I don't mean that as an anti-woman thing or anything like that.
The transition to the suit world is different. And I will tell you, I don't trust people with the clothes on. Because in a dressing room, you know everything. Everything about that person, who they are with, their families. And the most, I think, difficult thing for a woman, obviously, is one of the most difficult things and shouldn't be, but is their body issue. And is body issues. And you're out there with everything. So you are completely open. You don't hide anything. There's no reason to hide everything. We already know everything about each other. So that being said, you go into an office setting and I'm like, these people are shady. I don't know anything because they're like super, super nice to your face. And then maybe not so nice over here, or they're hiding this, or it's something you don't need to know yet. I mean, if you've got a technician, you know everything. Am I right? Technicians know everything. Techs know everything first. Everything. So you sort of, there's such an openness. There's no reason to be that shady.
Plus, you're not wearing pockets.
You know, there's no pockets. No, you can't hide anything. Mm-hmm. And then the beauty is you're going to work with that person again across the street. The community in Las Vegas is so small that even if you're not in that showroom, it is absolutely a family atmosphere. And so leaving that, I remember thinking, after leaving Fantasy, after nearly 10 years, what I missed most, because I was a company manager, was taking care of those girls, was being in that environment. Not necessarily what was on stage or what was happening with an audience. It was just that backstage environment I really missed, because you just don't get that out in the world where there's a desk and a phone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, in Vegas, you're not. In LA, it's very common. You go to auditions for free dance classes. You in New York, have you heard that? You when you go to an audition, it's a free dance class.
No.
Well, people take a dance class in Vegas. I mean, for fun, yes, but they're working every night. Mm-hmm. So if there's an audition that comes up, we tell each other. It's not a secret. It's not hidden. I mean, I don't even know if we update our resumes very
often. You know, when you say you're working all the time, this is the thing. I've known some men who dated dancers, and they say that, you know, they go, dancers work 7 days a week. You just never see them when you date them, because they might have 3 or 4 different gigs around town. So they finish one up at, like, back, like when Matt Goss had his show, you know, those women would get off the stage and then they would run off to some other gig. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a very worky. You know, I don't know how you're still walking around on 2 knees. You know.
Well, yeah, there's some stuff given out. But the tribute to my impending alcoholism and my wonderful producer, when I was in Fantasy, there were 3 years when we went to 7 days a week. The show had morphed into, and again, being born here, I don't have the Vegas throat problem that a lot of them will come in and have because it's very dry. Mm-hmm. A heavy rock show. I mean, there's some rock songs, so I would lose these swings. So I didn't have a swing. So for 3 years, I did not have a sick track and I did not have a swing. So I sang every night for 3 years. And the first 200 shows in a row.
Incredible.
She bought me 200 bottles of wine. It was phenomenal. Fortunately, at the time, I was married to somebody who drank most of that. And I didn't get a lot of it. Well, I got plenty. But it's an hour and a half a night. I mean, for me it was, if I wasn't doubling. When I was doing Cassidy's show, I'd do Cassidy's show and Sheena Easton and then go sing at the lounge at the Venetian for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. But it's just, when that's norm, it's norm. But still, I raised both of my children.
Yeah.
But I have all day free, unless you're like doing a gig.
Yeah.
You want to pick up a corporate. So that in itself, it just makes it so much more different than any other big entertainment town where you're trying to live as an entertainer.
Right.
It's a lot easier here.
Yeah.
You mentioned your daughter.
Shelby Jordan.
Following in the footsteps and dancing in shows. And I know that she was, like we said, she was in Fantasy for a short time, which was a special, special thing for you guys.
I saw her first show on Christmas Day. I cried like a baby. I was drunk off my ass, but I also cried like a baby.
What is it like, though, to watch your daughter kind of doing what you did? And did you ever try to steer her away from that for any reason? Not want her to be a performer? Or was there no chance and that's just how it was going to be? Or
I would never steer her away from it. She's been dancing since she was little. And I will tell you, as a mom, it's phenomenal because to see her up there knowing that's what she wanted to do and she's doing it, and especially in Fantasy, see her up there with women that I was so incredibly close with, and with a producer that I love very, very dearly. And then that mom side kicks in that she was proud of me. So had I grown up, had I had any issue with, because I'm the only one in my family in entertainment, I'm the youngest of seven, had to have any issues with what I might have done or how I might have portrayed myself, because, you know, it's not. She's was 100% loved it. She wanted to do that. And so there was a very selfish, I loved it. And a great mom moment to see her up there doing it exactly in the same place that I was doing it. Because she can sing. She doesn't want to be a singer, but I didn't when I started dancing either. So now she's, when she was in fantasy and they had only, because she was a swing, and she got offered X country. And that my advice was go. I said, this is, now you've already done it. You get, she got the picture with you and she was, gave me that for Christmas all framed up. But now it's time for you to do what you want with your own friends. And so now I watch her on social media, which luckily with all of us, it was not there when we were younger. But to see real time her doing exactly what I did, it's just, it's heaven. I love it. How could I not?
Yeah.
I'm proud of what I did.
So when you get together for events, I mean, during the course of your life, have you and her done any kind of performance at home together? You know, never. Like in the movies where you, oh, you know, it's Thanksgiving, let's get around the piano and sing or nope. Something. Do you guys never do anything together?
No. No. I write music with my brother, but since Shelby is a dancer, we've never really, really worked together at all. I figured by this time we had at least done a Golden Rainbow together, but we've done opposite ones. But
right. Oh, wow. You never even did the charity gigs together.
Wow. No, because we just are on different gigs. And now I'm singing. I have my band or work. And she's, you know, doing her thing.
That's right. You are still doing stuff. You're working in the day and in the night. And then you got your own stuff, too. How's that balance?
This last past 3 months with Mamma Mia, I don't know that it was balanced, but it was fun. Luckily, everything I do is fun, so I'm used to busy. I gave in long time ago thinking that things were going to slow down. It's just what it is. I was born 24/7. I guess that happens. So that's my happy place is busy. So I would go to work, and at March is a very, very busy time for New York, because of St. Baldrick's and St. Patrick's and March Madness.
Right.
So I finished work and then went straight to rehearsal and I would rehearse until 10:30 at night and then do it all again the next day. But so my balance is I'm not doing that right now. Now I'm just, you know, working and then I'll go back to it. I would love to do another one. I would love to do anything with the Huntsmans again. They did a great job and I have my band After the Neon. So like last night after work, we went to rehearsal just to blow off some steam. And I think that's my balance is I still do it. I don't think I could not. I don't think there's a reason not to. I mean, there's a real good couple of reasons not to be in a G-string and a bra anymore. But I, although I, in my career, have never danced topless, I could not be more proud of Shelby. Because the finest women I've ever worked with were topless. And I had to tell Shelby, I'm like, sweetheart, nobody asked. It's not great moral character that I didn't dance topless. My dad lives here. He would have driven through a billboard had he seen me. But nobody asked.
Wait, so I know that you'll sing any song that anyone pays you money to sing, but is there some song that you still like to sing or makes you cry when you sing or makes you happy when you sing?
Winner Takes It All, the ABBA song that I just got finished with. I am not good enough actress yet to surpass any instinct.
Yeah.
So it's, I even got the tattoo of on my shoulder because my mom had passed now 8 years ago, but it was one of her favorite musicals, and that song was one of her favorite songs. So yeah. I was working with the director, and I'm like, he's like, it's going to be difficult if you're crying the song. I'm like, well, okay, well, tough shit. Here we go. I mean, I didn't say that to him, but yeah, it was difficult to get through that song. It was only 4 performances, so it's not like I was doing it for months at a time. But initially to get through that song without thinking of her.
Yeah.
So that, and then I'm pretty much in it. When I'm singing, I'm jumping around and I'm in it. That's why I don't always get the words right. I don't have the best reputation for getting my lyrics right. Oh.
Is that true?
That's absolutely true.
Oh, my. Oh, so we're to like the admission part of this.
Nobody notices, though. Nobody notices.
Nobody notices. Well, not when you have 10 topless women behind you. I'll tell you that. Ain't nobody care about the words. But you hit the vowels, the notes. That's fine.
So what do you think that is? What do you you think it's just because you have so many songs in your head?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's hard to keep track of.
Absolutely. Anymore? I think you, when you're, every morning you wake up and you think, what's this gig? I have to learn this song for that gig. And it's all the time. So you're like, okay, I got the gist of it. I'm going to go out and do it. I went back to see Lorena. You know Lorena?
Yeah.
Okay.
Peril.
She went into fantasy. There was a bleep of a person in there. Very nice, but she didn't sing. And then Lorena took over the role. So I went back to see Lorena. And first of all, she sang Black Velvet, and I'm like, what are those words? So I came backstage after.
She's singing the real words?
She's saying the right words. I'm like, son of a bitch. I said, what were those words? And they're like, sing, because my nickname is Singer. They're like, Singer, those are the words. You just never got them right. I'm like, in 10 fucking years, I didn't get the right words? And nobody mentioned?
Nobody even cared.
No, and you go in the dressing room, and her dressing table is right where mine was, and then there's this door that they closed off because that was going into Carrot Top. It used to be the boys' dressing room, but so it was closed off. She had her costumes right there. And I thought, how is it that I was here for almost 10 years, and I went across the room for my costumes? Why did I never think to put my costumes there? They're like, Singer, that's where you kept the bar. I thought, ah. Much better use of space. I remember now. I totally forgot. But yeah, you have women with body issues. You also want to give them a little before the show.
Alcohol is.
You don't
the
want
solution,
them to realize. That's what you're saying. Yeah, it's your friend.
Okay. It's time for the Vegas you need. Vegas you need. Now I'm trying to remember the words I'm supposed to say. The Vegas you need is where we, your Vegas experts, give you some recommendations of some cool Vegas stuff that you need to check out. Probably couldn't pick a better person to recommend something in Las Vegas than Stephanie Sanchez.
True.
That's a fact.
What do you think? What's your pick today?
What I would recommend to anyone, because I am Vegas born and I'm crazy about hockey right now and forever, is Beer House in the Park. Beer House before the game. And even if you don't go to the game, it's like being in the game. We've got like 100-inch TVs there in there and a lot of alcohol, great food. It's outside. There's live music. So if you're hanging out, it's great.
Are there
it's
pretty
just
people?
The energy is still there.
Do they have pretty people?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm there every night.
Every kind of people.
Yeah.
Every kind of people.
Yeah. A lot of jerseys. Uh-huh. This is my first home team, but everybody comes in some kind of VGK swag, always. That's pretty cool. But yeah, Beer House. I would say Beer House before the game and during the game and then after the game, because we got live music then too.
Beer House has a great, I mean, of course it has a great beer selection, but they have a lot of local beers there too. And that's cool because it is on the strip and they don't have to do that. It's an MGM venue. They could bring in whatever they want to bring in, but they have a great sampling of local brews.
You've been there before, haven't you?
Many times. Many times. I've also been there and not gone to the event that I was supposed to go to at T-Mobile. Not a hockey game. I haven't missed a hockey game that I was planning to go to. But I have gone in there and had so much fun that we didn't end up going to whatever the thing was.
It's popping.
I'll just leave it at that. Doug, what is the Vegas you need from Doug Elfman? Dare I ask?
So you're asking me what you always ask, which is where should someone go? Well, I would say, you know, there's this really pretty little G-rated church on Cheyenne Avenue. But
no,
I don't...
stop. What's the actual Vegas you need from Doug Elfman?
But I wouldn't go to that church. I would say you should go to No. You know, it's hard to think. You know, I really like Crazy Horse 3 a lot, you know, and I really like the Palomino Club a lot. But I guess today, because of various reasons. I'm going to say maybe the Red Rooster Swingers Club. It's the greatest, biggest swingers club in America. And you can go, I think it costs, if you're a woman, it's like $10, right? And if you're a couple, it's like 50. And if you're a single man, it's more, because they want to get rid of the single men who are just walking around being single men. As I don't know if you know, but what men by themselves around naked people having sex is like, but it's not always whatever. So anyway, so it's a great place. It's very welcoming. They don't sell booze, but it's BYOB. So you bring your own booze. You walk in there. You give it to the bartender. They keep it behind the bar. You say, I need a drink.
I didn't know. I thought they did have booze there.
They have booze.
You bag your own?
But it's bring your own. You bring your own booze. You give it to the bartender. They put your name on it. And then every time you want a drink, you just say, I'm Doug, and they give you your drink, right? And they pour
it
for
you. Do you use your real name?
Yeah. I'm saying it on a publicly. I am the sex dork now.
When the person goes in, do they use their real names?
Oh, do normal people? I'm not normal. I'm not normal, but maybe most people use fake names. I'm not sure. But anyway, so you go in there. How long do I have to talk about this? Because I could talk about the Red Rooster for
I don't know
hour.
How I can stop you, Doug.
So then you're in the first section, you know, so it's a big giant place. So the main floor is one thing, and then the upstairs is where all the craziness goes on, and it's fantastic.
There's no craziness on the ground level?
There's some, but like if you want to get it on, you go upstairs pretty much. They have an orgy room downstairs, but it doesn't really get used all that much, you know, because it's whatever. I don't know.
Special occasions only.
So what I'm saying is, like, let's all get a group of, like, 20 people
automatic
together.
Automatic tip added to that.
So I think the real thing to do is
larger
you go with
parties.
Like, I've taken, what'd you say? I missed this.
Auto-grat for the large orgies.
Right. So I think it'd be a fun place to go as a couple, or if you got, like, I keep thinking, like, I should get, like, a group of, like, 12 people to go, you know, and then just go drink. And because you can just go there and drink. You don't have to, like, be naked or anything.
But you're bringing your own drink.
That's true.
Which is going to be cheaper than going to a bar.
But it's about the atmosphere is
that's why the single guy.
It's
go.
A scene is what you're saying.
It's an entertaining scene. Yeah.
Red Rooster.
There you go. That or church.
I don't know how I'm supposed to follow that in terms of the Vegas you need. But I do have a good pick for you, and it's another podcast. Yes. For the first time ever, I will refer to another podcast here that's not the Sin Bin. Very good friend of mine and one of my favorite local journalists has started a Vegas food and culture podcast called Spicy Eyes. Christy Totten and her colleague Sonia Swanson have started this cool new podcast. You can find it at spicyeyespod.com and listen to it everywhere that you listen to podcasts. As you know, I've been a food writer in Vegas for a long time. And what they're doing with this new show is really cool stuff that I always kind of tried to do and never really pulled off, which is connecting food and restaurants to people and culture and making sense of it and why it's important and why we all love food and making all those connections. So go check it out. You're going to love it. Spicy Eyes Podcast.
Totten is a spicy person.
I mean, you're just talking about the Red Rooster, so
yeah.
I'm going to not make comment on your comment.
No, I didn't mean that in a negative way.
Now all I can think about
is
going Totten to the Red Rooster.
Is a friend of mine. I don't mean that in a good way.
Spicy food. Yes. Where are you going?
There is
Brock?
Spicy
Come
food.
On.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Get it's out my, of there. My fault. My fault. Thank you, Stephanie, once again for joining us.
Yeah, you're a fantastic talker.
Hey, thanks for that.
Yeah.
When or where can we catch you performing again? Or do you not have plans? Or where can we check for some new music later on? Or where can we follow
you? StephanieSanchezMusic.com. There.
That's
everything
the spot.
It'll be there, yeah. All my social media, all my nudes. That's a lie.
You're camming, right? Yeah.
My $100 computer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, StephanieSanchezMusic.com, and I update it, and then my social sites all the time.
Are you always working on new music? Or are we gonna catch something from you soon?
Yeah, I got a new song that I'm working with the band called Revenge Now.
Seems appropriate.
It is. There's a lot of screaming.
All right. Monday's Dark, folks. Monday's Dark returns here to the space on April 22nd, benefiting Big Brothers Big Sisters of Southern Nevada on May 6th, raising money for the After School All-Stars, and on May 20th, generating fundage for the Ogden Family Foundation, all local charities, all local entertainers, all kinds of fun, and you can join in by getting your tickets at mondaysdark.com. That's not all that's going on here at the space. April 27th brings two epic events to the space on one Saturday. The Perez Hilton podcast with Chris Booker. That's right, Perez Hilton. You know who it is.
He's skinny now.
The famous gossip.
He's nice monger. Now. He used to be mean, now he's nice.
Now he's nice. He will be recording his podcast in Las Vegas for the first time. That's 4:30 p.m. on April 27th here at the space. And that night at 8 p.m., Police Academy legend Michael Winslow. You know who that is,
too. The voices guy.
Mm-hmm. He's back for some stand-up comedy, lots of strange noises. April 27th. Get your tickets at thespacelv.com. Pick up a copy of Las Vegas Weekly Magazine right now to read my interview with Grammy and Oscar winning musician, producer, and DJ Mark Ronson. That was a fun one. I've had a lot of famous talks this week.
You're somebody.
Just this week, there's been a very high concentration.
He's the somebody.
Of famous
people. I
want
to tell people I know you.
Yeah.
Well, Mark Ronson has a residency now at On the Record at Park MGM. And he's also playing the pool party at that property as well this summer. So you're going to want to see what he has to say, and you can stay on top of all the entertainment and culture stuff here in Vegas at lasvegasweekly.com. Doug, where can we read your stuff and watch your videos?
You know, anywhere. I mean, just go Twitter, which tarot is cards. Vegas. Tarot cards. Open up a tarot leaves. Card pack. I'll be there. Tea leaves, I'm there.
Is the sex dork a site that we can actually
You know what?
Read,
I'm, you know, still it's putting launched, it together? And it's a soft launch. Even though it's the sex dork, it's a soft launch. So it's a flaccid launch.
I was going to say that.
So
but you
the
took
best
it first.
Place, currently, if you want to go see my interviews with porn stars, you can just type in thesexdork.com, or you can go to YouTube and search for the sex dork and watch the videos. But if you just want to see what kind of nonsense I'm tweeting, I tweeted a bunch of stuff this week at Vegas Anonymous. And, you know, for whatever reason, like, I keep trying to stay off of Twitter because it's so mean. People are so mean.
It's true.
But anyway, you know, I put stuff on there and people like it. So whatever, I'm stuck there.
Twitter. You're the one bright light in the dark Twitter universe.
They're trying to pull you down. Don't let them.
Yeah. It's true. Where are you, Brock?
I'm right here at the space all the time in the recording studio, never leaving.
Every day.
Making
every day.
These podcasts.
Are we going to go drink now and get some food?
Yes.
Or what?
You can listen to every episode of All of Vegas on Apple Podcasts, on the Las Vegas Weekly YouTube channel, or just go to allofvegas.com. Thanks to Las Vegas Weekly and the space. Thanks again, Stephanie and Doug. And thanks, as always, to Ken, Mark. Miss you, dude. Come back soon. And thanks to you for listening. Drive carefully. Come back soon.